Hey, what's going on, everybody? Welcome to the Dadon Tolbert Show. I'm your host, Dadon Tolbert. Good to be back live here tonight. This is a very impromptu show. You know, around the holidays, I tell you guys, we tend to do fewer live shows than, you know, than anything. We were last live on Saturday, special edition of Saturday Night Live. Shout out to everybody who tuned in. But I wanted to come back tonight. I was watching a couple shows. I was watching, Real Housewives of Atlanta, which I used to watch it more, you know, back in the day. I don't really watch it too much now, but I happened to catch it, this past Sunday. And it inspired me to come back and talk to you guys a little bit on this evening about why men cheat. And if you guys know about this show, you know, we've done, you know, that's a very popular topic here. But we, every time we do it, we approach it from, you know, different angles. Tonight we want to approach it from a more of a married perspective, using Apollo and Phaedra, their whole situation, because when I was watching it, I saw a lot of red flags, you know what I'm saying, and very common red flags that are common amongst men, that men talk about, that men are passionate about, that men are irritated with, that really will have the potential to send your, you know, your guy into the arms of another woman. And obviously, you know, the whole premise of this show, our whole mission statement, as you guys know by now, is to help women avoid many of the uncomfortable situations and circumstances that they often find themselves in at the hands of men. That's what we do. And so what better topic than to discuss how to avoid being cheated on? What are some of the reasons that, you know, like I said, we've done that, we've talked about it, but I really want to focus on a couple situations, not just them, Apollo and Phaedra and that whole Kenya situation, but also going over to Love and Hip Hop, looking at the Peter Guns, Amina, and Tara situation. So we definitely want to talk about a couple of different things on this evening. And as always, you guys are welcome to call in with questions or comments. 646-200-0366. Hit the number 1 on your keypad. I've been getting over this cold over the last couple of weeks. I don't know if y'all could hear it in my voice, but I'm kind of back to normal. I'm feeling good tonight, so I feel like having some fun. Courtney, you cool with that?
Yes, I am. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing well. I'm doing well, Courtney. What's up with you? I mean, first of all, before we get into it, what did you think about our last live show? What the heck were we talking about the other night?
it was a good show. It was a good show. I enjoyed, the advice that we were giving.
So you forgot too, pretty much.
Well, I'm going to tell you what I didn't forget, that long letter. But, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm cutting you. Go ahead, Courtney. What? Please continue. What did you think about the show?
Well,
I forgot.
I'll
be real with you.
I kind of did too, but I do remember I liked it. So. if that helps.
Here's the thing, guys. All jokes aside, we did a show the other night specifically, and this is how the enemy works. And I mentioned online, he doesn't like certain shows to be heard for whatever reason. We really, really went into detail. We went deep into a lot of stuff in regards to the government, a lot of stuff, you know what I mean, that you, if you heard it, you heard it. If not, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, some people were saying they tried to go back to the archives and check it out, and, it just wouldn't play. Now, with over 3 million downloads on iTunes and, you know, 7 years, you know, over 1,000 shows, like, you know, that stuff has only happened a handful of times, you know, for who knows what reason, but, you know, it is what it is. We're just going to kind of roll with it and make the best out of it. But shout out to everybody who tuned in. But the show, to answer the question, and, you know, was The Ring Don't Mean a Thing. You know, that was the title. So if you guys are able to catch it, somebody told me you can actually download it on iTunes, but for whatever reason, the other system was not working properly. What else? Before we jump into it, this still the counseling promotion, the holiday special the 1 month free is still in effect. A couple people asked me about it, said, are you still doing it? Yes, we're still doing it. It was originally for Black Friday, then Cyber Monday. We're just going to keep it going. I'll probably extend it up until the new year. So January 1st, you know, is probably the last day you guys can take advantage of 1 free month of counseling with either myself or Courtney. So if that's something you guys are interested in, definitely hit us up at 855-55-DADON or email Dadon or Courtney at trctoday.com. I also want to talk about this evening a little bit later, and we're not going to be here, I'm saying a little bit later, but it was going to be like an hour, but I want to talk a little bit more about Candy from The Real Housewives of Atlanta. I was watching it, and I was very disturbed, actually, with that whole situation in regards to Todd and her mother, and even, you know, the best friend or whatever. So definitely want to talk about a lot. And all of these things, guys, understand what we're talking about tonight overall is why men cheat and certain specific situations that will lead and have the potential to drive your man into the arms of another woman. Every show we've ever done on cheating in any capacity, we always started out by saying there is never a justification. There is never a rationalization for cheating. However, and I, you guys know, I always say that because I don't want y'all to get up here and think that I'm trying to make excuses, you know, or you know, or justify in any type of way the, you know, the cheating that men do. But there are reasons, and you know, I can guarantee there are always ways to avoid it from happening to you. So we want to talk about using a couple different shows to do that, and you guys are always welcome to call in. Courtney, are you one of, back in the day, I know obviously your views have changed over the years, but back in the day, were you one of the women who were even trying to remotely hear the reasons why men cheat?
No.
How come?
Because I didn't want it to come back to something I was doing or wasn't doing. I always wanted to point the finger, and I always wanted to just blame men all the time and saying, well, you know, all men cheat, and they're just going to do what they're going to do, and nothing I do will make a difference. So that was kind of, that was a mentality I had. So I wasn't trying to hear anything.
That's interesting. You know, and this is the thing. I always, this is always an interesting topic that whenever we do it, because a lot of times women have the, you know, the tendency to say, well, a man's going to do what he's going to do, and there's nothing that can be done to avoid it from happening to you, and it's just because he can't keep it in his pants. All of those things are true. You know, yes, a man is going to do what he's going to do, but what you got to realize is, you know, it's, there are ways that men need to be stimulated, and this is to maintain any form of successful relationship. And we talk a lot about this through private counseling with many women who are in relationships, even married. And those three things are mentally, emotionally, as well as physically. Okay, and also you can throw in there spiritually, but that's a whole another conversation. But those are the three main ways that men need to be stimulated from their woman. Okay. They need to, obviously, God is going to be important in there, but I'm talking about specific ways that that woman needs to stimulate that man mentally. Courtney, do you want to give maybe a brief example of what that looks like as far as a woman stimulating her man mentally, and why, you know, why, how that, and how not doing that could lead to problems?
I would say a way would be providing, you know, intelligent conversations so they can be able, you know, to talk about any and everything. That can mean a woman being proactive in, you know, her man's life, you know, whether, you know, whatever his respective, you know, his career is, that could be her just, you know, providing ideas and, you know, suggestions and support. That's how I look at it. But then also on the flip side, I feel like a woman that does not provide that, it makes her boring and expendable.
Yeah, that's definitely a good point. But I like that, boring and expendable. Wow, that's great, because here's the thing, ladies, if you are boring, You know, meaning you're not stimulating your man through conversation, through interaction, through support. You know, he's going to, those needs and those wants, those desires don't just go away. Okay, just because you're not fulfilling them, that means that allows, unfortunately, another woman or other women to come in and potentially stimulate those needs for him. And that's not what you want. You know, that's it's unfortunate, but the truth is, if your man is thinking about you, it's impossible for him to be thinking about someone else at that same time. All right, that's why you want to stimulate him. And obviously, everything we're going to talk about tonight definitely goes both ways. I mean, I don't think we don't need to play that game. I think we all are adults. We all know that. But tonight we're here specifically helping women get a better understanding of, you know, this is the holidays. You know, no one wants to be cheated on at all, but certainly not around this time. You know, this is a time for emotions. You know, summertime, it's all about the physical. You know, it's everybody's very visual. We like looking, and, you know, summertime is going on, shorts, skirts, different things. You know, but wintertime, if a man is dealing with you, you can be sure that I'm talking about, like, that's the time when we're looking to connect with someone on an emotional level, on a spiritual level, on a mental level. And if he's not getting that, you don't want him, you know, bundled up next to somebody else on a day like we had here in Philly, where we got at least, what, 5-6 inches, something like that today, you know, which was crazy. What's the weather like up there in Chicago?
Well, this morning it was 3 degrees, so right now it's probably in the negatives, knowing Chicago.
Did y'all get snow, though?
Yeah, we got snow a couple of days ago, but it's supposed to snow again tomorrow.
Oh, so it must be moving up because we got hit this morning, so it's traveling up your way. Here's the thing. I want to share something earlier, and this is – I was watching Scandal. You guys know we talk about Scandal a lot, and I made an interesting point on Facebook. I mean, I was just sitting there thinking – there's a lot of hypocrisy associated with that show, and every so often I'll post little pictures to illustrate that. But I was thinking about Real Housewives, and I was thinking about Scandal. I said, hold up. Kenya Moore is being viewed as, you know, this homewrecker, as this hoe, this harlot, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever word you want to, you know, put in there. But, you know, because of the fact that she was texting, you know, evidently some inappropriate messages, and maybe they met up at some point, you know, who knows. We talked about how I believe they probably, you know, he did smash, but, you know, that remains to be seen. But, you know, so I find that interesting that she's being labeled all of these negative things, you know, when the reality is there's another show that comes on Thursday nights by the name of Scandal, where not only are there inappropriate text messages being sent with a married man? But there, you know, Olivia has her own phone specifically to have direct contact with the President of the United States, who's obviously a married man. Now, this is something that, you know, literally my timeline is filled with every single week with women, black women, you know, giving this the you go girl and wow, I'm so excited and I'm glad she's getting what she wants and she's happy. And, you know, I mean, it's actually ridiculous. You know, you see all the hypocrisy that exists towards people like Peter Guns and, you know, the hate towards Kenya Moore. But this whole situation with Olivia and Fitz is like it's some type of love story. This is adultery in its purest form. You know what I mean? And so, I mean, maybe it's just me, but is that not hypocritical to you, Cordy, that women hate Kenya Moore but love Olivia Pope?
It's very hypocritical, yet people still try to justify, you know, what she's doing, what her character is doing on the show. And it's no different than anything we see. But I think because, you know, is she's with a white man, and, you know, the way that they're portraying it, like it's this love story. And on top of that, because so many women, black women, have been hurt by black men, they're looking at it as if, oh, you know, the grass is greener on the other side. I think it's a way to tear the black man down, to be honest. But it's like they're glamorizing it.
Yeah, I mean, it's disgusting, actually. You know, they're definitely glamorizing hoish behavior. We talk a lot about the fact that how black women back in the day were objectified, you know, based on their looks, and, you know, they would put on shows. I don't know if people know, but I posted that picture online today where, you know, that goes all the way back to, like, the 1700s, 1800s, where black women were literally put on display butt naked. You know, they were made whores and, you know, were sold into prostitution and were made to strip and to do all types of things, you know, for the rich white men, the men who could afford to come to these private shows. And, you know, like, this is stuff you don't see really Hollywood. See, I know my history. A lot of people don't know their history. I'm not talking about the history that they make movies about or the history that gets shown on TV. I'm talking about the real history of slavery. You know what I'm saying? I know about that stuff. That's my heritage. I come from that. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, there's a lot of stuff that actually happened with the objectification of black women by the white man, the men in power, that still goes on today. You know what I'm saying? It's just modern day. It's just modernized, you know, with you know, whores like Olivia Pope. And I say whores because you look at the adulterous behavior, you look at her promiscuous past, you look at everything, the fact that she's having sex with not one white man, but two different white men in the same season, a couple episodes apart from each other. Absolutely ridiculous. I mean, that stuff, you got these hoes on Love and Hip Hop, you know, all, you know, these reality shows that are produced by, you know, the rich white man specifically for entertainment purposes, and just the whole breaking down of the image of the black family. I mean, you go back, 20 years, Thursday nights, it was all about family. You know, the Cosby Show, A Different World, you had the black family, you had education, people going over to, Hillman College. And, you know, now, if you go from a great black family, married couple, love, you know, Thursday nights, that was the original must-see TV. Now you look at Thursday nights, you got ratchet, hoish, adulterous behavior. We don't control that. You know what I'm saying? That's not, you know, Mona Scott Young, don't get it twisted and think that these people are calling the shots here. You know, the people who signed her checks, the people who gave her the green light for that show, they're the ones calling the shots, controlling what images get portrayed. They did away with must-see TV. Bill Cosby, I talked about this a couple weeks ago. One of the reasons why you don't see him like you used to, they make him look all crazy, all weird nowadays, you know what I'm saying, because he was so powerful back in the day. He was so rich. He was going to buy CBS, you know, but they blocked that. He had the money. He had everything, but they blocked that, and they said, oh, no, yeah, you got the must-see TV type of situation going on, but we're going to run you on up out of here, you know what I'm saying, because we don't want one black man to have that much power and that influence. And we talk about this. That's actually why Kanye West is as mad as he is, you know what I'm saying, because he can't be in that position of power that these other people are in, you know, the real shot callers are in. So I just want everybody to be aware of, when you're watching Scandal, don't get it twisted. That's not entertainment. Love and Hip Hop is not entertainment. That's modern-day slavery. That's modern-day blaxploitation. Has you ever looked at it like that, Courtney?
Yeah. Because, I mean, if you look at it, the quality of programming has seriously diminished. It's just ridiculous.
I mean, it's just going downhill, you know. But, I mean, that's a problem. But what's even a bigger problem is that we are willing participants in it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's the shame. The sad part is that, you know, my voice is one of the only voices that will even address this issue. That's the real crime. The real crime is that most people don't even care. They're just so brain dead. But then again, the Bible speaks about that, doesn't it? It says specifically that there will come a time where people, and I'm paraphrasing, but where people will not want to hear sound doctrine. They just want to hear whatever their itching ears want to hear, right? Isn't that what the Bible says? The Bible, God predicted this. You know, people don't want to hear real radio that matters. They want to hear ratchet radio that doesn't matter and that's irrelevant. Let's get back to this whole cheating thing. But this is, you know, it just kind of, you know, burns me up. You know, the fact that we, that our community, my community, is one of the most ignorant communities out there in regards to this stuff. You know what I'm saying? That's the craziest thing about it. We talked about the other night how it's basically a given that that Madea is going to make more money than the new Mandela movie. I mean, that's actually laughable. You know, I mean, that's the craziest thing about it. You know, but it is what, I mean, what's even sadder is that, just to keep taking it to the line, most black people, the black community, I mean, we mourn him, and people are updating their status updates about him, but let's keep it real. I mean, who are we fooling? Most people in the black community really have no idea who Nelson Mandela was and what he did and what he represented. That's the saddest part about it. I've had conversations with actual people. They're like, "Oh yeah, my, like, yo, did you hear about Nelson Mandela?" Like, "Yeah, Dad, it's such a shame." I'm like, "Really? Yeah, what'd you think about him? Like, what, you know what I mean? Like, what do you think about his legacy? You know, like, how did his work, his legacy affect you?" And you should hear the look on their face. They just, you see the look on, they just look crazy, like a deer caught in the headlights, because they literally have no idea what he represented. Is that not crazy to you?
Yeah. But, I mean, it's believable, so.
Yeah, man, it's crazy out here, man. It's crazy out here. Let's talk about Phaedra. What's the issue? Should we talk about Phaedra or Candy first? What do you think?
Let's talk about Candy.
Let's talk about Candy. I was thinking about that. That's why I switched it. I want to talk about Candy. Then we'll come back, because I definitely, there's more to talk about with the whole Phaedra and Apollo and that whole thing, but... And along the same lines of why men cheat, you know, how your man can start looking at you a different type of way. Funny thing is, my wife and I were watching it. Well, I mean, let's set it up for people who don't watch it. If you guys don't watch it, Candy is, she's worth about a good $35 million. You know, she definitely is very rich. She's very successful from, you know, publishing to obviously being in a music group, to songwriting, you know, performing, and all types of things, television, sex toys, all types. She's a pretty big media empire. And she, you know, has, we did a show on her a couple of years ago where we talked about just the emotional unavailability that exists in her. She's always, talking to my wife, she was like, "Yo, she's always smiling." That smile, that, I mean, have you noticed that, Courtney? She's always laughing, like, always smiling. Like, what is so funny all the time?
Yeah, she you is, know? Now that I think about it.
Like, she's, even when she was trying on those dresses in the place, like, she's, like, laughing. Her mom's about to fight her best friend, and she's, like, this big smile on her face. And I'm going to tell y'all something, and I said this literally like 2-3 years ago, and I'll say it again today. Candy will be single indefinitely, okay? She is literally one of the most emotionally unavailable women that we've ever discussed, that I've ever seen, at period. You know, and if you guys go back to even before, what was her ex's name, the guy that got killed?
AJ.
AJ, right. Yeah, we did a whole show. Like, I remember that, like, the day it happened, we were on the air, and, you know, we did a whole show, like, after it happened. I was just like, wow. Next thing you know, she's like, it was literally like that next season, she's talking about how horny she is all the time and how she had this friend with benefits. I'm like, yo, your fiance just died. Like, what the heck are you doing? You know what I'm saying? And she was, you know, singing, making songs about it and just singing about how she'll be miserable and depressed forever and just all types of stuff. And now, you know, I don't know exactly how long it's been, but I know she started dating Todd, you know, relatively shortly after that whole situation ended. Certainly no more than like 2-3 years. And so, but certainly most likely less than that. And she just, you know, is just very miserable, very depressed, you know. And one of the things we talk about from a sexuality standpoint here on the show a lot of times is, when you are going, same thing with Rihanna, these women are very, very depressed, okay? And when you are going through emotional distress, spiritual distance from, you know, from God, and just, there's a lot of things going, that's a lot of times when your sexuality comes out. When you, if you look at a lot of sex or people who are overly sexual. You look at some things that are going on emotionally. They're not happy campers internally, and that's kind of what you see here with Candy and, you know, people like Rihanna, like when you hear about, obviously, her whole situation with Chris Brown and even going back to when she was sexually molested by her father. These are all things that she's spoken out publicly about, and then you can look at the decisions that she's made in her life. It's like, whoa, even like, look at Evelyn. I mean, really just look at everybody. Look, you know, people like Tahiri, you know, from Love and Hip Hop. I mean, you look at all of these people, you know, from a sexuality standpoint, you look at them like, wow, they're hoes or they're freaks or whatever. But then you look at the things that they've been through in their life, it explains a lot. You know what I'm saying? You look at the absence of God in their life, it explains a lot. And so I would encourage everybody not to judge people, but literally to pray for people and to look at like, yo, wow, they're really hurting inside. Like they're that sexual. Nobody wants to be sexual. You know what I'm saying? Nobody wants to be a hoe. Nobody wants to meet somebody and feel like, wow, I'm just going to give myself to them. Nobody wants to have sex on the first night. Nobody wants to just let dudes run trains on them and ejaculate in their faces like the Bible describes in Ezekiel and things like that. Nobody wants to do that, but when you are hurting, you are being controlled by the devil. We did a show on the attacks from the enemy and how the enemy has the power to come into your life and control you if you allow him. If you push God out, that's when if God's only way you won't be controlled by Satan is if you have the protection of Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. But the problem with that is sin, it separates you from Jesus Christ and God. That's the definition of sin. So if you're sinning, you're living a sinful lifestyle, God's not going to be in your life. And then, bam, guess who comes in to town? That's when Satan comes in. And so when Satan comes in, that's when all hell breaks loose. You know what I'm saying? And depending on where you want to go career-wise, different things, that's why you see a lot of people doing any and everything for Satan, you know, because they've pushed God out, and now they're being controlled by the enemy. You know, just ask people like Rihanna and Chris Brown and Beyonce. And I mean, you can go eat Barack, Michelle. I mean, it's all the same. You know what I'm saying? It's all the same. So nobody's above it. Anyone who doesn't have God in their life is going to be susceptible to selling their soul to the enemy, being controlled by the enemy. This is all biblical. You know, and I know people say, there's a group on Facebook. I'm in a Greek group, you know, that consists of all the sororities and the fraternities. And somebody posted, I don't want to put the name out there, but somebody posted it's crazy, actually. My first day in the group, I happened to see this. Somebody posted, do you believe in all this Illuminati stuff? And you should, I mean, I wanted to take a screenshot. I wish I could just show y'all the whole thread because it's, like, really sad. You know, and sometimes we become desensitized to all this stuff, like how jacked up the world is just because we stay in our little bubbles. You know what I'm saying? Like, we go to church. You know, we worship. We're in the Friends of the Dayton Tolbert Show group. Everybody's posting scriptures all day, every day. And you know what I'm saying? It's like we kind of sometimes got to, you know, get back into reality and really look around. And there are people outside of this little church bubble that are literally on their way to hell. Not only on their way to hell, but on this thread in the group, they're like making jokes about Jesus and, you know, making jokes about the Illuminati, like it's like they totally don't believe. It's just sad. They're like disrespecting God, being blasphemous. These aren't celebrities. These are just regular, everyday people who are just lost and have no type of, you know, regard for the Bible or spirituality at all. Quinn, have you ever run into people like that? It's just like, 'cause I don't see it every day. I mean, I do, but not on that level. Like, you go into some of these groups, it's just, like, literally worse than Sodom and Gomorrah.
Oh, yeah. It's crazy in some of those groups. I really began to see, you know, how people are because, like you said, I was in that bubble, you know, used to being around, you know, like-minded people. But, you know, as Christians, we do have to step outside of that. We have to preach the gospel to everybody. So in the process, you are going to run into people that, you know, don't believe in God. And it was crazy. It was an eye-opener, like the first time I was able to see it. You know, people who look like me, you know, I never would have, you know, guessed it, that they would have those thoughts. Because I had this, like, weird, you know, I envisioned it just being like a white guy, you know, being an atheist, not people, not black people, not people who look like me. But I saw those comments, so I know what you're talking about.
I mean, you know, it's crazy. It's crazy out here, man. You know, that's why I say just pray for people, you know, because I have no power to send anybody to hell, you know, but God does, and the Bible is absolutely, you know, very clear as to who will inherit the kingdom of God, you know, and who won't, you know, and what happens to people who don't. So, you know, I just encourage everybody to read their Bible and, you know, to pray for, not only pray for lost souls, but not be afraid to infiltrate these groups and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's great to post biblical scriptures and inspirational messages amongst a bunch of Christians. Yeah, that's all well and good, but, you know, you're preaching to the choir. I mean, get into some of these sex groups. Get into some of these fraternity and sorority groups. Get into some of these dating and relationship groups where you know people don't agree with you. You know, see how that goes. And it's going to be uncomfortable at first. But, you know, I'm pretty sure Jesus Christ was uncomfortable at certain times as well. Right? That's what we're here for, is to not save the saved, you know what I'm saying, but to save the damned. So, but back to candy, though. So I'm watching the show, man. So here's the situation. But I just want to give you a little bit of background on her. She's in a new relationship, or not even a new relationship, but she's engaged to a guy she's been dealing with for about a year or so. And her mom hates the guy. And the crazy thing about why she hates him is because she feels as though he's not on her level financially. Now, while he's not, like, I looked up his net worth. I think it was something like $200,000, which is obviously, I mean, that's not anything to sneeze at. I mean, he does well. He's a producer. He's produced shows, you know, like Oprah specials. And I mean, he's done a lot of production in the entertainment industry. That's what he's known for. And he makes a good living, but obviously, I mean, he's not on a $35 million level, which doesn't matter at all. You know, they evidently seem to be happy. I shouldn't say that, but they're in a relationship, and the mom is looking down on Todd because, you know, she feels as though a man should be the provider, which is ridiculous because he is providing. You know what I'm saying? I think a lot of women in today's society struggle with that, where they're making a lot of money, whether it's six figures or close to it, and a man might be making $35,000 a year, $40,000 a year. That doesn't mean that man can't be the man of the household. It doesn't mean that he can't provide for you. You know, it's all about that household and how that he is the man of the house, period. And the best women are going to submit to him, you know, as that man submits to God, as it should be. And I don't see that being a problem in the household, you know, with what we see on the TV. I mean, she seems like I don't see a lot of power struggles there, although I did see something. There was some conversation about a prenuptial agreement. Were you aware of that, Courtney?
Yeah, I saw that. But they agreed to it?
Well, here's the thing. They talked about it. I heard them talking about that like a couple of seasons ago or something, like last season, that I hadn't heard too much about it. And then, like, you know, in this last episode, I think the mom was like, yeah, something about a prenup. And he was like, it's like they kind of didn't address it. It just glanced over. And he was like, well, right now I'm not signing anything. And I suspect that that's going to be a major issue because Todd seems like the type of guy, as do most guys, they're not signing anything. You know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't sign a prenuptial agreement. I mean, I don't know too many dudes who would, because if you're a woman who is pressed, you know, you're thinking about, you know, financial security as opposed to love. You're basically saying, if this doesn't work out, I want to make sure you don't cheat me out of my money and we go in a way that's fair. I mean, that's wrong on so many levels. That's ridiculous on so many levels. And I don't know a man in his right mind who would go along with that. That's why I'm telling y'all right now, watch your TV sets. You're going to hear very shortly oh, yeah, Candy and Todd have agreed to separate and go their separate ways and da-da-da-da-da, just like everybody. I predicted 3 years ago she'll be single indefinitely. You don't go from that level of emotional unavailability to love. It just doesn't happen. You got to deal with that. You got to heal from that pain. You know, that smile is masking so many years and years and years of tears and depression and hurt and pain. You know, and I see, I mean, that's, it's like all in her spirit. You know, so I say just, you know, pray for Candy because she's actually a very nice person. I mean, from what we see, like she's not like, she doesn't have a bad attitude. She's not like, you know, these other women out cussing and arguing. She seems to have a genuinely nice personality. But, and I really have nothing bad to say about it, but it's just she needs to heal. You know, she wants love so bad that she's just willing to overlook so many different things to get there. But that's not even the problem. That's not even the biggest problem is her emotional unavailability, although it is a huge problem. A big problem here, and this is even a part of emotional unavailability, is how she is afraid of her mother. What you know about that, Courtney? Anything, can you relate to anything like that?
Yeah, I can. Just the control aspect of it, you know, what we see on TV, the relationship. Yeah, I can relate to that. I think a lot of women can. And it just, well, I'm sorry. Let me stop because I'm going to trail off. But, yes, to answer your question, I can relate.
No, definitely speak on it. I mean, you're right. So many women can relate to growing up in a controlling household, an abusive, emotionally abusive household, and even many times often physically abusive household. But the funny thing is I'm watching a show with Danny, and literally I said, like, before we were watching it live or on a DVR, but, like, right at that moment, I was getting mad, just like you saw Todd getting mad, like, at that scene at the table. I was getting mad, too. I'm like, yo. She was like, yo, you want some gravy? He was like, no, I don't want no gravy. I want to know, like, what's up, like, what's going on? And she was like, well, you know, my mom, you know, is just kind of concerned, and she thinks you're an opportunist and da-da-da-da. And she's, like, laughing about the thing. And I said out loud, like, before he even said, I'm like, yo, what is so funny? And, like, right after that, he was like, yo, I don't see what's funny about this. And, like, we were just, because that's just how men respond. And what y'all have to, and where I'm going with this is, ladies, if a man is dealing with you, this is very important. If he's dealing with you, especially on that level, he's going to want to know that you have his back against the world. I don't care if it's your mom. I don't care if it's your dad, these niggas out here in the street, other women. Whatever the case is, he's going to need to know that you have his back. Candy doesn't have his back. He's like, yo, like, so, I mean, handle this. She's like, well, I don't have my phone right now. That stupid chick. She said, come on, man. I don't have my phone. He's like, oh, no, I got my phone. Here you go. She didn't want to do it. She was like, well, what you want me to do? He's like, I want you to handle it. He said everything that I would have said and that any man would have said. But the only difference is, I'm like, oh, okay, because you saw what he said, Courtney. You saw what he said after. He's like, look, honestly, your mom and the way that she's tripping basically is going to cause you to lose out on a man who's good for you. If y'all translate, he said it in a very nice way. He's a cool dude, but y'all, you know, hopefully she got his point, and hopefully you guys got what he was saying. He's like, look, I'm not marrying you under these circumstances, and it's not about his mom or her mom. It's about her. That's what a lot of women don't get. They think the mom is the problem. In fact, I want to do a show on in-laws, which we haven't done, but that's a lot of times people think in-laws are the problem. No, in-laws aren't the problem. I'm not marrying your mom. I'm not marrying your dad. I'm marrying you, and I want to know, you know, that you have my back. You know what I'm saying? The Bible says two souls, they become one. We are now one. I'm your new family. Yeah, you got a family, but this is where your priorities lie. You know what I'm saying? And a lot of times women are not able to stand up to it. They want to, like, and even her best friend said, you're like, yo, why are you on the fence? Nobody wants a woman who's on the fence, ladies. Either you have our back against the world or it's a wrap. Now, what y'all don't see, what they don't show on TV and in many situations that go on behind the scenes, is the ramifications of those types of incidents. a lot of times men aren't going to start, they're not going to call up the mom and say, hey, look, let's go sit down so I can let your mom disrespect me to my face while you sit there with this stupid smirk on your face. Let's just go ahead and do that. Nah, they're not going to do that. They're just going to call up somebody else, and they're going to smash it off, and then they're just going to put the drama out of their mind while they're getting some sex. And then once the drama dies down, they come back. Hope, you know, if it's all over, if it blows over, it does, cool. If not, then the affair continues. That's what really happens. See, what y'all don't see, when he wherever he was on that business trip, doing whatever he was doing, a lot, I'm not going to say him because I don't know, but I do know a lot of men in those exact same situations will go away, have some good old sex, come on back, grip, you saw what he did, picked her up, palming her, you know, the booty, take her upstairs, smash his wife or whatever, but having had sex with other women, not because he wanted to do that, but a lot of times just because he didn't feel that support. Is that right? No, it's not. It's actually wrong. But it is real. And unless you want that to be you, ladies, you will support your man. You will stand up to your mom. You will stand up to your father. In fact, you will have his back in any and all situations. Anything short of that, I can almost guarantee you. See, that's what nobody talks about. You don't hear people talking about the real reasons why men cheat, the conversations that happen right before he cheats. Everybody, oh, no, he's a dog. No, yeah, that may be true. Or he might actually be a good dude, but just feel as though his wife or his girlfriend or whoever, fiance, doesn't have his back, but that white chick does, but that ex-girlfriend does, but that coworker does. You have an attitude. She always has a smile and some jokes. You know, I'm just being real with y'all. You tear down his manhood, but she uplifts him. Who you think he's going to want to spend time with? Maybe he doesn't want to get divorced. Maybe he doesn't want to call up the whole engagement. You know, a lot of women say, well, why didn't he just leave? Yeah, that's easy to say. But when somebody's, you know what I'm saying, right there trying to throw it at you, I'm just being honest with y'all, man. Most men won't be honest with y'all. These are the real reasons that men cheat. You don't have to like it. You just have to understand it and do your part as a woman to make sure it doesn't happen to you. Make sure you don't end up being the subject of this conversation. What are your thoughts on that, Courtney?
Man, that's deep. I was just, as you were talking, I was just reflecting on that situation with Candy and her mom and just that level of control. Personally, to be honest, I don't even think she was the one that really wanted the prenup. I think her mom talked her into that. I think it's obvious, it's evident that every decision she makes is based off of how her mother will feel about it. That's how she goes about that situation. And unfortunately, like you said, she's not having her man's back. She's not having Ty's back. And she lets her mom disrespect her friends, her man. And I don't see her having a successful relationship at this point with that still going on.
Right. I mean, Candy, you know, we talk about a lot of women. You know, we talked about, you know, all these shows, you know, from Evelyn to Chrissy to, I mean, you know, Beyonce, Kim Kardashian. I mean, we've talked about a lot of people. I mean, we've talked about Candy, even Chili. But Candy is as emotionally unavailable as any woman. Okay? Please believe that. You know, and if anybody can't look at that situation and tell that relationship is, like, on its way to nowhere, I mean, there's, like, something wrong. Because Todd is not happy, you know, from the prenup situation to the in-laws. I mean, that mom, that mom is crazy. Straight up crazy. You want to fight the friend. I wanted the friend to get up and punch her in the face. That's what I wanted her to do. They need to see some crazy behavior. That's one time I would like to see some, what y'all say, ratchet. What the heck is ratchet? I hate that word. I don't even like it, but, I mean, there's not too many other words to describe, you know, that type of behavior in reality television. But, yeah, if there was ever a time, you know what I mean, that would have been it, man. Get up off, you know, that seat and throw grandma to the floor. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, did you see, though, how her friend, I think her name's Carmen, whatever her name is, even though her Candy's mother was just coming at her head and saying a whole bunch of disrespectful things, she held her composure. And so I have to hand it to her. Like, she was very calm and collected. Like, she really was. And she didn't react the way that her mother did. It was embarrassing to see her mom jumping up in the air, kicking, trying to, like, it was too much. It was too much.
Yeah. Would y'all say she was doing the most?
Yeah, she was doing the most.
Doing the most, man. You know what I mean? That's, yo, what's wrong with these people, man? You know, grandma's wanting to fight. I mean, that's just, I don't know who's worse, her or the Braxton mom. Like, the Braxton mom, she's the worst too, man. She's just the worst in a different type of way. She, how you going to be like an 80-year-old hoe? You know what I'm saying? I'm just, like, do y'all watch that Braxton? If y'all missed my special on the Braxton Family Values from a couple of years ago when the show first aired, definitely Google that when you get some time or you're just perusing through the archives. That was a pretty good show where we literally, that was actually a very good show, where we broke down Tony and all her sisters and the emotional unavailability of them all. And funny how Tony is probably one of, if not the most emotionally unavailable of them all. You know, there's a reason why she's like 50 and single. You know what I'm saying? From whether it's her illness to the fact that she was having sex with, you know, her ex-husband. I mean, just out there carrying on, young dudes like Trey Songz. I mean, just foolishness. Posing, talking about posing naked for Playboy, still coming out with her nipples exposed. You know, 50 years old, dressing like she's like 22. I mean, ridiculous. You know, Toni Braxton at one point was, to me, the most beautiful woman on the planet. Now she's just disgusting. She used to be my number. And funny thing is, man, like, and the fellas know. Like, if I'm 36. Wow, I was about to say 35. I just turned 36. Like, I come from that generation where, you know, all these women who are now, like, 45, like Lisa Ray, you know, Stacey Dash, Carmen Electra, you know, like all those, like Halle Berry's, like they were in their prime. They were like 20. They were like all like super gorgeous. We grew up like, you know, I'm not going to say idolizing, but like they were all like number one on our list. Now they're all just disgusting. You know, I don't say that because of their looks, but I say that because of their attitudes, because now they got these reality shows that let you into their life and you get a chance to see like just how disgusting they are. Like Kenya Moore, for example. The fellas know, like, I know people like Marv and, like, everybody who's, like, around my age. You guys don't understand. Kenya Moore, let me just tell y'all about her real quick. She is definitely a trailblazer. And I don't want anybody to take offense to this, okay? But for my generation, and I'm going to be real with y'all, Kenya Moore opened up a door that previously didn't exist for dark-skinned women, okay? Like, back in the day, no, there was no woman being looked at, being talked about in the barbershops like that, you know. And I'm not saying it was right. I'm just being honest with y'all. Like, I'm at that stage. I could care less about being played. I just like being real. I like being honest with y'all. Like, that was a time when all the media was showing was fair-skinned, light-skinned women. You know, like this Halle Berry's, like Stacey Dash. When Kenya Moore came out with Miss America, Miss USA, and really what did it, honestly, y'all know what did it was that movie Twa, okay? And the fellas know, that's like a hood classic. When she came out in Twa with Gary Dordain and, you know what I'm saying, like all that stuff, that's when she was like number one on everybody's list. And everybody was like, yo, she's like dark skin. And that was, I'm trying to tell you all the severity and the magnitude of that at that time, because it was unprecedented to have a woman like that on just about everybody's number one list. So what I'm trying to tell you all is she's gone from being literally one of, if not the most sought-after women of that generation, to being looked at as just a laughingstock. Like, she's not even attractive now. And I'm just trying to tell you all that, and we're about to get into, like, you know, the meat and potatoes of that whole situation, but you definitely gotta respect yourself. It's all about class, you know. Beauty comes and goes. All right, Bible even says it. Beauty is fleeting. You know, charm is deceptive. Doesn't mean anything. It's irrelevant. It comes and goes. But when you love God, when you have a great personality, you know, when you're emotionally available, that's when you get love. That's when you get blessed. That's when men want to put a ring on your finger. We talked on Saturday night about how, you know, what it takes for a man to want to wife you up and a man to actually claim you and have it be genuine and authentic and to be faithful. See, a lot of women think that, oh, yeah, I got a man. Yeah, you got a man, but he's cheating on you. He doesn't really want to be with you. He talks to his homies about how sick of you he is. So, I mean, a lot of people, they walk around with this big old fake ring that we talked about the other night, but your man isn't even happy. Your man isn't satisfied. Your man isn't stimulated mentally, emotionally, and physically. So let's talk about that, because it doesn't matter if you're married. It doesn't matter if you have, quote-unquote, love, if it's not, you know, right in God's eyes. You know any women who, for them, that's the prize, that's the goal, just getting a man to say, oh, yeah, I'm not single?
Yeah. I know a lot of women like that, that are in those situations and, you know, with the man for a long period of time, no ring, but it's just they're happy that they have someone.
Yeah. It's unfortunate. It's definitely unfortunate. So let's talk a little bit about this whole Apollo situation, this whole Apollo Phaedra. And I don't know if this young woman was pulling my leg or, I mean, I don't know what the heck. I don't know if she was serious, but there was a young woman said on my Facebook page, she was like, you know, what's so bad about her? What's so? I'm like, are you serious? Like, Phaedra, let's just be clear about it. We don't spend a lot of time talking about her. Although, if you guys missed my special on The Housewives, check it out. Because we did a whole, that was probably one of the best shows ever, honestly, where we did a show specifically on The Housewives where we broke down every single character and assessed their level of emotional unavailability. And make no mistake about it, they are all very much so emotionally unavailable. If you guys missed my interview, back in the day when we were interviewing a lot of celebrities and things like that, we had NeNe Leakes on the show, and very interesting character she is. But definitely, if you missed it from, it was at least, what, 2-3 years ago, just Google NeNe Leakes on the Dayton Tolbert Show and kind of hear, you know, she shared some information about her past as a stripper, her past in a domestic abuse or domestically abusive situation, as well as how she really feels about some of the castmates. You know me. I can't, you know, I don't play no games, Corey. Were you around back then? Were you a listener of the show when we interviewed NeNe Leakes?
Yeah, I was a listener, but I didn't catch that show.
Are you serious? What are you, a psycho?
Yeah, I am. Y'all just call me a psycho.
I'm gonna talk to you after the show about that. Yeah, no, that was an interesting show. Yeah, that was definitely an interesting show back in the day. But yeah, check it out. In fact, maybe I'll post that in the group a little later on. But, yeah, so Phaedra is a hot mess. I mean, she's literally disgusting. You know what I mean? Like, hold up. You know I got to get on Marv, too, because we had that big debate about Phaedra on Keeping It Real Fridays, on Barbershop Talk on Keeping It Real Fridays with me, him, and I think Lewis was on, and Marv was saying that Phaedra looked better than who was it? Some it doesn't even matter because she don't look better than nobody. But I think that night he was saying Selma Hayek. He was trying to say Phaedra. Oh man, Marvin's crazy. Yeah, that was a crazy show. If you check out that show, it was a show on I think How to Know If You're Dealing with a Man in the Dog Stage. I think that was the show where we ended up having that huge, crazy debate. But, yeah, Marv is crazy on that one. But Phaedra, I mean, not even from a physical standpoint. I mean, although she is disgusting physically, but from an attitude perspective, you know, she has a horrible attitude, you know, has that depressed spirit, you know, always sarcastic, just being negative, you know what I'm saying? And she's not, I think, you know, there was that episode where she came out, you know, with her whole butt, you know, backside out. Just disgusting, you know? And so this is really what I want to talk about in regards to, you know, cheating. Phaser, that whole situation, and I want to be very clear about this. Like, I want to really be honest with you guys. I'm telling y'all right now, this is not wrong. This is a good example of a severely emotionally unavailable woman attracting the worst possible men. Now, clearly, I see so many of these situations. We talk about mentally, spiritually, and emotionally. If you look at that show, all right, physically, let's just be honest. Apollo is a handsome man. He clearly takes care of himself. Phaedra does not. Okay? Clearly. That is a huge part. It's not everything, because we're going to talk about everything, but that in and of itself, ladies, is important. I don't want to lie to you. When you are a certain type of man who looks a certain type of way, and, you know, you are going to obviously have an abundance of women, literally beautiful women, throwing themselves at you. It is important for you to take care of your body. All right? We're not going to hold hands tonight. We're not all going to sing Kumbaya. We're not just going to be like Steve Harvey and tell y'all what y'all want to hear. The reality is, when you have an attractive man who is in a situation where his woman is not taking care of herself, I'm not going to say he's absolutely going to cheat 100%, although the likelihood is there. But you don't even want your man thinking like that. You don't want him to even feel the conflict, the internal tug of war to say, dang, you know, this is tempting. You want to satisfy your man physically, which does not always necessarily mean sexually, depending on the situation. Because you can look how he wants you to look. You can, you know, and really you should be doing it for yourself. But aside from that, you should, you know, do as Kelly Rowland said in our classic special on Cater to You, remain the same chick that you fell in love with. I'll keep it tight. I'll keep my figure right. Right? These are the things that y'all need to do. See, a lot of women don't want to hear that. They want to follow they want to hang on Beyonce's every word. But when Kelly Rowland and they're singing and Cater to You about the things necessary to be done to avoid you from being cheated on and to keeping your man satisfied, y'all don't want to hear that. Y'all rather listen to Single Ladies and Get Me Bodied and Put on Your Freakum Dress and all this other crap. Nah, you need to listen to some of these songs like Countdown, like Cater to You, like Dance for You. See, like 1+1. See, I tell you all the time, Beyonce has made some classic songs. In fact, some of the best songs of all time. Okay, that's how you know she's being controlled, because she has the power and the talent to make life-changing music. I've heard her do it. Some of my favorite gospel songs, one of my favorite gospel songs is by Beyonce from back in the day, He Still Loves Me. She makes powerful music, but unfortunately, now that she's living for the enemy, she's making music that is literally destroying our youth, destroying black women, destroying our young black girls, causing them to want to grow up to be whores, independent woman, freakum dress, single ladies, party. These are some of the most destructive songs ever made. You understand that? But at the same time, songs like 1+1, Cater to You, those are some of the songs that will uplift and epitomize what love can be about. You understand that, guys? But what I'm saying to y'all is, you have to remain the same chick that he fell in love with, or strive to do it. Now, if we're talking about kids, okay, you had a kid. That's, you know, obviously it is what it is. But it's all about the mentality. A man is going to be a lot less likely to cheat on you if he sees you in the gym after work, if he sees you doing the Pilates, if he sees you going to the track on the treadmill, doing the crunches, Tai Bo, whatever you want to do. That's going to be sexy. In fact, random Facebook update, somebody was like, a girl, he's like, women who work out are sexy as F-U-C-K. Now, obviously, it was a little bit vulgar, but that was somebody's status update this morning. You know what I'm saying? I mean, he's right. I actually gave that the thumbs up. I don't agree with the phrasing of it, but it's a true. I agree with the sentiment. Women who work out are sexy. Women who are not afraid to sweat out their hair are sexy. Women who are afraid to sweat out their hair are not sexy. Women who don't take care of their body are not sexy. Women who wear fake hair are not sexy. Women who dress like hoes are not sexy. Women who have sex on the first night and are, you know what I'm saying, no respect for body, this is not sexy. There comes a time where women need to finally understand what is sexy and what is not sexy, what black men want and what we don't want. There is a reason why 75% of black women are single out here, and nobody's talking about it. Everything I just named are the real reasons. There are tons of black men, single, great, godly black men, who are looking for love, looking for a wife, but cannot find it for the life of them. I just texted my homie the other day. Shout out to him if he's listening. I was like, yo, what's up? I heard from you in a minute. What you been up to? He's like, man, I'm chilling. I said, well, what's up with the ladies, man? How the ladies treating? He was like, man. He's like, I see you. He's like, you ain't never going to go out of business. He said, you got to be a therapist to deal with some of these chicks out here. I said, I feel you. You know what I mean? I said, dad. He said, yo, man, a lot of women, they have so many emotional issues that lead to physical issues, which lead to spiritual issues. He said, man, I don't even want to be bothered. I said, yo, man, that's crazy. I feel you. But that's real. This is a good dude. This is somebody who's looking for love, looking for a wife, and was out there back when I was clubbing, before I even met my wife. Same situation, looking for a wife. Still looking. It's hard out here for a black man. Y'all talking about a good man is hard to find? No, a good woman is hard to find. Trust me. Any man will tell you that. All you got to do is be emotionally available, take care of your body, respect your body, have a great personality. You'll be found. The problem with it is there are very few women who meet that, you know, criteria. The Bible says, who can find a virtuous woman? Well, what's a virtuous woman? Well, good thing I did a show on Proverbs 31. If y'all missed it, check it out, where we literally went through and defined what it means to be a virtuous woman. Anything less than that, you will not be found by a man of God. I guarantee you that. The reason for that is because the scripture is describing a wife. You can't become a wife if you don't have wifely qualities. If you don't already act like a wife or conduct yourself like a wife, you're not going to be a wife. A lot of women out here want to be wives, but they're carrying themselves like single women, like single ladies. And well, get used to it, because you will be single out here in the clubs, partying, drinking, having sex, updating your Facebook status about nothing, taking selfies, posing with a bunch of niggas who you know want to smash. What man in their right mind would willingly subject himself to that behavior? No one. Now, he might smash. He might get you to have phone sex on the phone while he records it on his voice recorder on his phone, and or have his homie on three-way. That's about it, though. A lot of women are like, what? Yo, what's he talking about? Yeah, that happens. That freaky stuff that y'all be doing on the phone, that's being recorded. I've been meaning to tell y'all that for a while. Yo, stop doing that stuff, ladies. Don't y'all know, I don't want to say stupid, but how stupid can you be? You don't know that these men have somebody videotaping all that freaky stuff you're doing? You don't know that they have that stuff on, like, tape, and they're like, yo, hold on, yo, why don't you say this? Why don't you do this? All that stuff that you're doing because you think it's going to lead to him, you know, ultimately committing to you and falling in love with you and viewing you as a ride or die chick. No, all that means is he's setting you up to be the talk of the barbershop. I told you I felt like keeping her extra real tonight, Quinn. Am I keeping it too real this evening?
No, I wouldn't say too. Well, you are, but it's a good thing. It's not a bad thing. We need that. So, like, I don't mind. I'm sure no one else does.
Well, the haters do.
Well, they don't matter. You know. So, wasn't talking about
them. Yeah, right. They don't matter. But you know, they're mad as they sweating right now. They already took a shower. They're like, yeah, I'm gonna take a shower. You know, I'm going to have a glass of wine, listen to Dayton, and go to bed, get ready for work in the morning. Now they got to take a shower all over again. he mad at, you know? So, I did a post a couple years ago, several years ago, showers at night. You shower at night or in the morning, Courtney?
I shower in the morning.
Yeah, me too. I don't know. I don't know. Maybe it's just me. I like to feel fresh in the morning. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. No disrespect to anybody, but, you know, I just like to wake up. But I want to, just for whatever reason, it was like a 200 post thread from several years ago, like just throwing that. You know, like, when do y'all shower? But, you know, maybe we'll do it again just for fun. But back to Phaedra and Apollo. So, we're just doing the physical. You know, Phaedra, you know, is bottom line, ladies, it's important to look good for your man, period. You know what I mean? If he likes you to smell a certain type of way, then smell a certain type of way. If he likes you to look a certain type of way, it would behoove you to look that way. Okay? It would. Now, but the real problem here, though, is with a personality standpoint. And it's crazy that she actually thought that this would be a good idea. She was like, yeah, so I'm not speaking to him right now. Now, they are married, and they have been married, and they've been together even longer than that. And, I mean, she's sitting up there. This is, Apollo is like a model. He's an attractive guy. This is somebody who could probably go out and get any of these hoes down there in Atlanta. Like, you know what I'm saying? Just literally. Like that, with the snap of a finger. And here she is with the audacity to think that she can put him in the doghouse and have the audacity to think that she can give him the silent treatment and that he should just come back and beg her? Phaedra? I mean, like, are you serious? You know what I'm saying? And that is ridiculous. That is absolutely ridiculous. You guys know I'm telling y'all, hopefully y'all know, you know he smashed off Kenya, right? I mean, I just want y'all to know that. Like, women like Phaedra, I think that deep down every woman knows that. I don't think there's anybody who really thinks that he didn't. Some people want to give him the benefit of the doubt, but deep down I think everyone knows, like, those text messages, you're not texting somebody back and forth if you're not smashing. Okay, that's how it goes. I posted online, could Kenya take your man? The answer to that question isn't about how you look or how she looks. It's about how you act. It's about how your man views you. I wrote down a couple of notes, three points that he made that I think I wanted to touch on this evening that are very, very important and very telling. He said, I wish I could have the old Phaedra back. Wow. A lot of people don't realize how powerful that statement was and how much that means. I wish I could have the old Phaedra back. What that means is he was reminiscing to the days that actually made him want to be with her. For whatever reason, that was, God only knows. But evidently he saw something in her way back when that was nice or appealing in some way. And he said, wow, you know what? I miss those days. I wish I could have the old Phaedra back. Basically implying that in those days, she didn't have the attitude. In those days, she didn't give him the silent treatment. They could actually communicate effectively. And so that's what made him say, I want the old Phaedra back. And then she was like, well, you know, in 4 months, you know, I'll be done with the school and I'll be able to devote more time to you. What do you think about that, Courtney?
I was actually surprised that she said that because, well, actually, I shouldn't be, but it just seemed like she was just putting everything before her husband, her own needs. It was just very selfish. That's how it came across to me. And I just didn't, I figured she was, you know, a little bit selfish, but I just didn't know it was, like, on that level. It's like, if she said it as if she was doing him a favor. Well, yeah, after I'm done, then I can spend time with you, as if it's a chore. You know, you should want to do that. Your man shouldn't have to beg you to do that.
Yeah, it's actually ridiculous. You know, it's actually very, very ridiculous, the level of selfishness. I mean, think about what she's saying. You know, in 4 months, I'll be able to devote more time to you. What the heck does she think this is? You know what I mean? See, that those words should never come out of anyone's mouth. Whatever you do, you have to be able to incorporate your marriage into it, your relationship into it. If something, you know, takes you away to that point where that person feels neglected, you know, it can't be good. You got to work it out. You got to figure out a different way, because you can't have a man out here for 4 months or really any amount of time feeling unsatisfied or unfulfilled. Relationships, period, male or female, need to be mutually stimulating. If it's not, then it's not healthy. You know, one of the main things if not the most important thing in any relationship is communication. Trust and communication are the two most important factors. Well, ironically, they have neither. You know what I mean? And that's the whole thing. That's the whole thing that caused the problem was the text messages, was the lack of trust. And here Apollo was. Now, let's be clear about it. Now, I'm gonna tell y'all two different things. I stand by this. I believe personally, and I don't have no proof, I'm just saying my personal opinion, I believe he smashed off Kenya Moore. I can almost guarantee, and I believe it will come out at some point, even if it's a couple years down, I can almost guarantee he smashed that off a couple times. But that being said, based on what we saw, I believe his lie and the way he communicated the situation, I felt like it was plausible. You know, I felt like he did a good job of lying. I felt like he, you know what I mean? Like, I didn't feel like, you know, he came off in a manner that sounded like BS. Or basically what I'm saying is I don't think that he did anything. I mean, obviously the text messages were clearly wrong, you know, clearly. I mean, the whole situation, I'm trying to speak about a ridiculous situation in a logical way, which is very challenging for me. The whole situation, I mean, he's a loser, he's a deadbeat, you know, he's clearly a non-elite man, not a man of God. But for what the two of them had, the way that they interact, I felt like the way he presented his case was sufficient for that. I don't think that he did anything for her to be like, oh, yeah, I'm just not going to be speaking to you. I mean, like, most women, or I should say a woman with a healthy level of self-esteem, wouldn't even be in that situation to begin with. And in those type of situations, they just would have left. But, you know, with him and the fact that because of the fact that she stayed, clearly they have some type of relationship where that, you know, is okay on some level. And I felt like the way he presented it, it was like, oh, either you're going to accept it or you're going to leave. Clearly you ain't going nowhere, so get over it. That's one thing I don't like. Like, ladies, stop arguing. Either you're going to stay or you're going to leave, but don't just sit there and have an attitude about something. Either get over it or leave out the situation, because you know you're dealing with a cheater. What you arguing about it for? I mean, you see women like that, Courtney. It's like they know they ain't leaving, but at the same time they want to have an attitude because of how that man is continuously treating them.
Yeah, I see that all the time. It's almost like, you know, those women feel that, you know, if they put up, you know, a front like they're mad or, you know, give them the silent treatment, then that somehow is going to make that man change. It's a desperate attempt that always fails. And so in regards to Phaedra, it's obvious that, like you said, he smashed Kenya Moore. Everybody knows that. And it's obvious that Phaedra knows that as well. Like, she knows what's going on, but, you know, she's not confident enough to walk away from Apollo. Like you said, it's making
You said it's making the situation
worse because now she's nagging.
Right. That's what it is. And let me tell y'all something. That's a good point that Courtney makes, because nagging, and when we talk about cheating, that literally, I cannot stress enough, no man wants his house to be a battlefield. You nag, you're going to be cheated on. I mean, 99.9%. It's not right. I don't want y'all to think, oh, he's making excuses. No, I'm not making excuses for anything. I'm just telling y'all what will happen. You know what I'm saying? It is what it is. You know? Now, unfortunately, you know, we live in an imperfect world with imperfect people. It's all about you, you know, presenting as the woman a an environment that makes a man happy, that makes him, puts him into the mindset of wanting to do everything and anything and giving his all to you. When you create that environment, that man will give you the world. If you're dealing with a true man of God, the best possible man, he will give you the world. But you there are things that you have to do to put him into that mindset. When you're nagging and you're yelling and you're nitpicking over little things and holding grudges and giving silent treatments that last 2-3 days, I mean, that's ridiculous. My wife's never gave me the silent treatment for 2 days, let alone 2 hours. I mean, that stuff needs to be resolved immediately. You know, otherwise, bad things tend to happen. Now, one thing at the end of that scene, if you notice, this dude, I mean, I got my stopwatch. I started taking, like, time, and, yo, this dude was apologizing for, like, 5 straight minutes. Like, it was just like apology after apology. Like, you know, I'm like, yo, how many times is he going to say he's sorry? You know, he's like, it should not be like this, and I shouldn't have to keep, and he's right, he shouldn't have to keep apologizing. Ladies, what you have to realize is that men are only going to apologize for so long, and they're only going to apologize so many times, you know, before they say, all right, whatever, the heck with this chick. You know, if y'all haven't read my book, The Love We Had, man, y'all are psychos, you know, because y'all have to see how these types of situations that we talk about play out in a fictionalized way, in the realest way possible. Get it now on sale on Amazon.com, Kindle as well. You know, any thoughts on that, Courtney? I mean, just, you know, you see a lot of women who have that false sense of security, false sense of pride, that they feel like they, you know, they're up on this pedestal that men have to try to, you know, get on their level and get out of the doghouse. And it's like, yo, you're not in control.
Right. And it just all comes from those emotional issues that have been left unresolved. I mean, that's the only way I feel that a woman would, you know, attempt to do that and try to create those situations that, as I always say, fail and they're unsuccessful. And so that's why it's so important just to work on yourself prior to even getting into a relationship so you don't feel the need to play those types of games, because it never ends up good. You know, things do not work out well for the woman.
Right. It never works out well for the woman. It's never going to be the type of situation that is going to lead to you living the type of life that you want to lead. You know, a lot of times women want that fairy tale. They want the happy life. And they may even have a husband. But see, all marriage, and this is really where the devil comes in, you know, a lot of times based on emotional unavailability, the devil will send you somebody, not God, but the devil will send you somebody where, unfortunately, his true colors won't manifest themselves until 3 years in, 5 years in, 15 years in. I mean, how many 45-year-old women out there end up getting divorced? So instead of being 27 and single, they're now 42 and single, have to start over. That's a lot of that, you know, and there's a lot that comes with that emotionally. And it's like, well, Dad, a lot of self-esteem issues start to kick in. The accelerated fear of being alone, you know, really kicks in, which leads to all types of decisions. I know many women who have, you know, been married for 10 years, for 12 years, 20 years. Next thing you know, you know, because of the hurt, the pain, the bitterness, they say, well, look, I'm not really looking to get anything serious right now. So they go out into the dating world trying to make up for lost time. So they're dating, you know, they're having sex, you know. I mean, you have no idea. These men out here target older divorced women, you know, because specifically for that wrinkle, that reason, single moms who have, you know, kids might be grown or whatever the case is. And, you know, a lot of times that's like the easiest sex to get. You know, it's like no games, no strings attached. A lot of times these quote-unquote cougars, you know, they're just throwing it. And that, believe it or not, ladies and gentlemen, that is what you see most of in the black community. See, nobody wants to talk about these issues. You know, it's a lot of women who are single, but, You know, many of those women have been married before, are divorced, you know, are coming out of 5-year relationships, and they're wilding out, man. You know, they're having sex. They're out here trying to compete with these 22-year-olds. They're trying to find love again, but now they find themselves, instead of 28 and single, 38 and single, so now they're trying to do the things dressed the same type of way as these 25-year-olds, and it's just ridiculous, you know, and they're getting eaten alive. The sexual numbers are accumulating. Do you guys know that at just about every man's fear of dating, you know, older women is that sexual number? You know, I think Courtney and I did a show on, me and Gerald, we did a show, a show entitled "What's Your Sexual Number?" and how it affects love. See, that's that elephant in the room that nobody wants to talk about. Nobody wants to address that. You know, like, okay, well, how many men have you had sex with? How many men are you having sex with currently? You know, like, what kind of friends with benefits do you have? You know, Steve Harvey has made millions of dollars on the fact that most black women will give it up on the first date. He introduced this 90-day rule, and it was like, ding, 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 ding. Okay, yeah, I'm used to giving it up on the first date, so let me just wait, and that will, you know, give me, you know, hopefully a good barometer of whether or not I'm dealing with a great man. Well, that's ridiculous. Doesn't matter if you have sex on the first date or sex after, you know, the 91st date. You're still going to get dull. You shouldn't be having sex at all. The only book you need to read is the Bible that speaks about fornication. If you guys missed our show where we literally dissected for an entire 3 hours, over 25 verses straight from the Bible in regards to sex. You ever talk about sex for 3 straight hours, Courtney? I'm not talking about in high school with your boyfriend. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like from a biblical standpoint.
No, not before that show.
Okay.
Now, you tried to play me. That's okay.
You know, but yeah, see, it's crazy out here because so many men and women, they think that sex is a joke. You know, they think that sex is a prerequisite to love when it's not. In fact, it will destroy your chances of love. You know, it will destroy them. That's the craziest thing. I've seen so many relationships destroyed because two people introduced that too soon. And when I say too soon, I mean before marriage. A lot of times, and really what happens is a lot of times women, they don't want to take that chance at the quote-unquote sex being bad. They don't want to take that chance at the man not being able to sexually stimulate them. You know, they want to make sure he can make them have an orgasm. They want to make sure the sex is good before they say I do. You know, I mean, that's really what it is, isn't it, ladies? Isn't that really what happens? Isn't that really a part of the decision-making process when you're going on that date and you're seeing and assessing how nice he is, what type of personality he has, what kind of living arrangement he has? Does he have roommates? Does he live with his mom? At the end of the day, you want to know about his job and stability, and does he love his mom? That's all well and good. But at the end of the day, you want to know how good he can hit it from the back, right? You want to know if he's a freak or not. You want to know if he can stimulate you. You want to know what those Friday nights are really going to consist of after the Domino's or the Pizza Hut and movie nights. That's what really goes on. You want to play allow yourself to go along with the massage game. Isn't that, I mean, you know, oh, yeah, you can give me a massage. Okay, I got to take off your bra. All right. You know, next thing you know, you're testing the merchandise. That way, because that's why a lot of times the sex goes down so early, because you want to know, am I wasting my time? You know, why invest a week, 2 weeks, 2 months, you know, if the sex is going to be bad? I'm going to have to cut you off anyway. That would make sense Only thing that God has something else to say about that. God doesn't approve of the 90-day rule. You know? I mean, that's the thing about it. What are your thoughts on that, Courtney?
I just think that sex shouldn't be a factor in the decision-making process. You know, especially it's just, it does nothing. You know, even if the sex is good, well, what does that do, you know, for you? Like, I mean, in the long run. Yeah, it feels good in that moment, but if that's not the person that, you know, God has for you. It's just like, why would you even set yourself up for that? I think a lot of us women are concerned about the wrong things. Like, if we don't want to get to know a man for who he is, we're more concerned about what he brings to the table physically, and then we'll get to know him later. And then we're wondering why we're not getting wifed up. Because I used to be one of those people. I used to think about, you know, how a guy was in bed. That stuff does not even matter. That doesn't matter to me at all. Because what people fail to realize is if you trust God and you do your part and, you know, develop that relationship with God, when he introduces you to that person and you get married, he's going to bless everything, including the sex, when everything is in his will.
You see, that's what a lot of people, and that's where trusting God comes into play. A lot of people don't have that trust in God that he will bless the marriage. So they want to take it upon themselves. But what the word says about that is to lean not on your own understanding, but to trust in him in all your ways, and he'll direct your paths. That doesn't just mean about your job or your career or your housing situation. That has to do with sex, too. Y'all know that, right? That verse is about sex. Well, it's not necessarily about sex, but it can be applied to sex. Trust God that you don't have to lean on your own understanding about whether or not he can make you have an orgasm. Trust him, and he'll direct your path down the aisle. And so the sex, because, I mean, that's what nobody wants to talk about. That's what your preacher doesn't want to preach about. But I'm not afraid to talk about sex, and neither should your preacher. Imagine your pastor talking, doing a sermon like this, and then asking for some tithes and offerings. Hey, that you'd be able to hear a needle drop in that tithing bin. Nobody would be giving money. That place would be so quiet, man, people start walking out. Good thing this isn't church. You see what I'm saying? Bible says right here, so flee youthful passions and pursue righteousness, faith, love, and peace, along with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart. There's a reason. That's over in 2 Timothy 2:22. And there's a reason why the Bible says flee from youthful passions. What do y'all think that means, youthful passions? See, the reality, I mean, should I go there, Courtney? Should I really tell you what the word says in regards to youthful passions?
Yeah. Let's talk about it.
See, I was trying to go to bed early, man. Y'all got to make me stay up, man. I was trying to do like an hour show and then be out. But real quick, this is what the word says. I mean, I'm trying to sugarcoat it, but there's no way to sugarcoat it. The reality is most women are hoes when they're younger. I mean, most people are hoes, but that doesn't exclude women. You know, I mean, we're being honest, aren't we? I mean, most women back in the day, growing up, they made a lot of sexual mistakes. They had a lot of sex, a lot of one-night stands, a lot of oral sex, a lot of massages going wrong, a lot of getting smashed off on a Friday night and then saying, oh, my God, God, bless me and allow me not to sin like this again. I mean, that happened a lot back in the day. A lot of men, most men in college, I know a guy who had sex with 16 women in one semester in college. So, you know, definitely, I'm not just saying about women, but, you know, because most men are hoes, youthful hoes, old hoes, you know. I mean, men are hoes. Most men are hoes. So let me just make that clear, as I always do. Most men are, you know, the most hoish, specifically black men, to be real with y'all, but just men in general. But that being said, there are a lot of female hoes out here, while and now. That's why the Bible says it. You know, he says, you know, flee your youthful passions. All that crap you used to do back in the day when you were in college, you know, leave that alone. Leave that in the past. And now pursue righteousness, faith, love, peace, along with those people who call on the Lord from a pure heart. Now, basically, also what that means is, it means that to stop being a hoe, right? But in addition to that, leave your hoeish friends alone. You got to leave those hoes because the birds of a feather flock together, and you will be grouped in with the women that you run the streets with, ladies. It says, flee youthful passions and, you know, and hang out with, and begin to hang out with those who call on the Lord from a pure heart, those people who are Christians, who love God, who are not hoes, who are living righteous lives. Only hang out with those people. That's what it's basically saying here. I'm just saying, if anybody disagrees with that interpretation, we can have the discussion, but I think it's pretty clear what the word says. Leave your youthful passions alone. Leave your hoish friends alone. Any thoughts on that, Courtney, from a female perspective? I'm sure that's not popular advice. It's not a popular scripture, although I will post it to Facebook and see what kind of responses we get. But, you know, any thoughts on it?
I had to do this. I had to do that, the same thing that the Bible is instructing us to do as far as just, you know, walking away from my old life and the people that were in it. Because I had friends at the time that were hoes, so, you know, that were, like, out there. It's like everyone knew that they were. And so I didn't realize at the time that I was being associated, you know, with those women, and I didn't realize it until later, but I'm so glad that I cut them off because they did nothing for me. It's like when you are living for God, you do have to surround yourself with like-minded people. You can't do it any other way.
Oh, yeah. That's the key. And see, that's the thing, ladies. What you got to realize is one bad apple does spoil the bunch because these men are going to go to your Facebook page and they're going to assess whether or not you hang out, like your lifestyle basically is the type of lifestyle that he's trying to walk away from or the type of lifestyle that he wants in his future. That's what y'all got to realize. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's not going to be the type of situation where, like, if we're in the player stage, we're going to want to just wife up a woman who we met in the club and is going to the club next weekend. Like, oh, so what, you know, what are you doing? Oh, you know, I'm going back to the same club that you met me at. Like, oh, okay, cool. Well, let me take you out tomorrow, like the next day after that. You know, like no, that's ridiculous. We know the drill. You're not going out because you have someone in your life. You're going out to meet people. You're going out because obviously you're not satisfied with what you have. So, I mean, like, that's the thing. And the craziest thing is, here's the craziest thing about it, and this is another thing that really rarely gets talked about, is that a lot of women in today's society will meet a nice guy, will be interested in that guy, but they will still entertain either exes or past friends with benefits, or they will still go out to the club and give out their numbers. They'll still meet people, and they want a man to be honest and transparent with them and forthcoming with them, but there's a lot of secrets that go on in dating. There's a lot of things that these women don't tell men in the initial stage. Now, I'm not saying you need to pour out your whole life, but what I am saying is, if you're lying, if there are lies of omission, if you're trying to be sneaky, if you're trying to double dip, you're trying to, you know, have your cake and eat it too, you will get played. A man will see right through that, and he will do nothing but have sex with you one good time or a couple good times, hit it from the back all crazy one night, and then keep it moving. And then next thing you know, you'll wonder, oh, my gosh, why did that happen? And I said, well, you were dealing with somebody else, weren't you? And say, well, yeah, but he didn't know that. Yeah, oh, yes, he did. Oh, he absolutely, most certainly knew that. That's what I'm saying. Y'all can't be sneaky, ladies. How you going to claim to be a woman of God, but you out here being sneaky, keeping secrets, trying to date four or five different dudes? Say, well, men do it. Okay, well, most men are hoes, so what's that make you? That's what I'm saying. Nobody wants to marry a hoe. If we're already a hoe and we're trying to leave our hoeish ways, see, I used to be a hoe. That's what y'all don't realize. See, my good thing for me, my wife was never a hoe. Can't have two hoes, you know what I mean? An old hoe, though, an OG player like myself, isn't going to marry a hoe or a reformed hoe, even for that matter. The good, I say, well, what are you saying? Reformed hoes can't have, I'm not saying that, but generally speaking, most former hoes don't want to date former hoes. Now, I'm just speaking for myself, but what I'm saying is you may end up dealing with, once you change your life, once you confess your sins to God, he cleanses you, makes you white as snow, all that good stuff, you're probably going to end up dealing with a man like Lewis, right? Shout out to Lewis. He was never a hoe. I commend him. I respect him for that. That's probably going to be your future husband or someone like that. I'm just saying, that's usually how it goes. So, but then again, I suspect, and actually I know for a fact, Lewis doesn't want to date a former. So I'm just saying, just don't be a hoe. Bottom line, just don't be a hoe. All right? We're stepping on some toes tonight. Y'all thought it was just going to be some old, y'all got comfortable, man. I say, okay, he wants to talk about some other stuff. Maybe he's done making us uncomfortable. Maybe he's going to conform to the ways of other people out here, like the Steve Harveys and these weirdos out here that just talk about nothing all day. No, y'all got me confused. Got to keep it real. It's only a handful of live shows left in 2013. Right? I mean, we're getting down to the wire. Some of y'all have been with us here on the Data on Tolbert Show. We're approaching our 7th year. You've been with us for 7 years, many of you. Some of y'all 3 years, 4 years, 2 years. Somebody called me on the 800 number today. I didn't get a chance to call her back, but she says she's been listening to the show for 2 years. I didn't forget about you. I'm going to return your call, and we're going to set up some sessions, you know. But some of y'all have been around for 2-3 years, you know, 4 years, 5 years. How? At what point do my words stick in and sink in and say, wow, you know what? I want to change my life. I want better for myself. I don't want to end up like Phaedra. I don't want to be like an old hoe like Kenya Moore. I mean, the problem with her is she was a hoe when she was back in the day, walk around with her freaking huge breasts, being the object of every man's desire. That's when she was like 20 years old. She's doing the same thing at 45 years old. Somebody says, well, she's not 45. Yeah, okay. Yo, all celebrities, they subtract a couple years off their age. Y'all really think Beyonce is what she says she is? Matthew Knowles, they subtracted a couple years from her, from all of them. Beyonce like 35, man. Beyonce and Jay-Z the same age. Oh, man. It's like, no, I'm messing with y'all. But seriously, though, you know what I mean? Y'all got to lighten up out there, man. Lighten up. People listening at home with their Rudy Tooty Fresh and Fruity sunglasses on, man. Listen, this is a fun show. You know, don't take it so seriously. You know, like a lot of people, they be getting mad and pissed off, ready to fight. You know, don't be pissed off. Just don't be a hoe and you won't be pissed off. The most friendliest, I'll tell you all this, all jokes aside, the most friendliest women, the women with the best personalities, are the women who have a relatively low sexual number. When you let that amount of niggas up inside you, ladies, that'll piss you off. That will piss you off. It will destroy your joy. Those soul ties being built, you know what I'm saying, men running up in you. You know, taking something, every single one of them takes a little bit more, leaves you with a little bit less. You know, and then you want someone to view you as having the best personality, and it's just not there. It's because you're giving and giving and giving and giving, and you're getting nothing back. Now stop giving. Give your life to God. What are your thoughts on that, Courtney? I'm going to do a couple of advice questions. I'm going to get up on out of here, man. My wife... She said, you know, I told her I was going to do like an hour show. She said, yeah, whatever. Looks like she was right. You know, it is what it is. Y'all going to have me sleeping down on the couch again. I'm going to do another bit strip cartoon. You see me down here talking on into a microphone or something. You know, cartoon. You know what I'm saying? Sitting on the couch in the basement, eating a sandwich.
You and Cabo.
Exactly. What's your thoughts on all this, Courtney?
I really don't have anything much to add to it, but I will say that there is a large number, almost disproportionate amount of black women out there. Just, I'm talking about in just my everyday travels, wherever I'm going, I notice that with they have bad attitudes. And it just made me think, what you just said made me think, you know, back to one of the reasons why, just the bad relationships. I'm not even going to say relationships. Having sex with multiple men and not getting anything back, it's really torn a lot of us down. And it's very unfortunate, too, because you can tell, like, when you interact with some women, just that wall is up. It's like they don't want to let anyone in. And you see it a lot when you go grocery shopping or wherever you go in retail. You see that a lot, and it's just like, wow. It's real out there.
Yeah. It's funny that you said that, Courtney, because I was about to tell a story about that. I forget where I was. I really can't remember. I know it was before this snowstorm. I'll just say this. There's nothing more beautiful and more enjoyable than running into an African-American woman who is just genuinely friendly. I have no idea, because I say this out of love for black women. You know, me and, you know, just most men I know, we love black women, but unfortunately, which is why we even do this show, specifically to help black women, not white women, Asian women, specifically for black. In fact, we're the only show in the world that is on 7 nights a week with the sole purpose of helping black women. But it's so refreshing to meet a woman who has a great personality that hasn't been tarnished and just decimated as a result of giving her body away to multiple men. And it's rare. It's very rare in today's society that you see that. Most women, specifically black women, do have an attitude. I'll just say that. It's sad to say. We don't need to play games. Every man knows that. You know, if we run into 20 women, you know, 17 of them will have a bad attitude or will not be overly friendly. That's reality for every single black man out there. Some, you can try to lie, you can try to, oh, you don't know everybody. Trust me on that. Every black man will tell you the same exact thing. All right, some men will lie to you, some men won't keep it 100%, but any man who's, if he's honest, you know, that's a problem. So all I'm saying is, you know, be nice. Like, when you meet Courtney, she's friendly. Some of these other women like Cheryl and Aaron and Katrina, and I'm just throwing some names out there, like Nakia and Yvonne from the group. These are women with great, great personality. Henrine over in the group, great, you know, personality, always starts the day off with some great scriptures. You know, those are the best types of women. You understand? The great women of the world. You know, anything outside of that, Kiani, you know, another Amy, some other great women. I'm just throwing names out, and I would really like to remember your name. If I'm missing you guys, and I apologize, but I want you to be at the top of that list. I want you to stand out when I think of the great women that I know, that I've encountered. You know, obviously my wife goes without saying. You know, but there is a lot of women who we meet, and it's like, hey, I mean, it's just okay. She's just, you know, she's all right. Just being all right won't get it. Being Phaedra won't get it. You know, what's the name? These other characters on there. What's the chick's name? The chick that's friends with Leon. I mean, best friends with Leon.
Cynthia.
Now, Cynthia, I mean, she's not horrible, but she got that little mean side to her, you know, and that's just not, you can even tell Peter, he ain't with that, man. He ain't feeling that. They'll be divorced soon, too. Everybody's going to be divorced. Just watch. One by one. How many celebrity couples have we predicted over the years? And I'm telling y'all, ladies, You have to have the best possible personality, and in doing that, that will cause you to attract a man who will view you in the best possible manner and treat you in the best possible manner. Getting a man with sex, or trying to get a man with sex, will never work out for you. One of my favorite verses that I mentioned when we did that show on fornication, 1 Corinthians 5:1 says that it's actually reported that there's sexual immorality amongst you, and of a kind that is not tolerated even amongst the pagans. Is that not, that's like crazy to me. Y'all don't realize how deep that scripture is. You know, the type of hoish behavior is such that it's not even tolerated amongst people who don't even know Jesus Christ. People who actually hate God, they don't even tolerate that type of hoish behavior. And that's the type of sexual immorality that exists in the black church. There was a post, picture somebody posted of the Mary chick. What's her name? Erica Campbell? Now, I was kind of conflicted with that. Somebody asked me to touch on that tonight real quick. I mean, here's the thing. See, we live in such a sexual world. Now, while I believe that it's possible for gospel artists and, you know, just women in the church to be sexy, to be stylish, to be trendy, that was a little bit much to me. You know, that was like, I mean, that dress could not have been any tighter. It could not have been any more sexual. Like, it was, you could tell that she was trying to put out a sexual message. You know, Mary, and let's be clear about it. Let's be very clear. They are very much so controlled by the industry. Okay, Mary is second to only Kirk Franklin as far as being the highest and most highly paid gospel artist in the history of music. Only, I think Kirk Franklin's net worth is something like $20 million. Mary is something that was like $16 million, something like that. You know what I mean? And Kirk Franklin and Mary, you know, are the only two who have ever released music and achieved commercial success as far as Billboard is concerned and things of that nature and on that level. So understand that you don't sell that many records. You don't have that type of support. You don't get to that level of financial success without playing the game, without flashing the 666 sign, without doing all types of things, you know, putting demonic and satanic imagery into your music. So I say all that to say, just because she's a quote-unquote gospel artist, listen, you know, that doesn't matter. The same people that write the checks for R. Kelly and Jay-Z and Beyonce are the same people who sign the checks for Kirk Franklin and Mary and Yolanda Adams and all. It's the same industry. It's the same distribution. It's the same production companies. The same people control the studios. It's all, you know, the same people. It's all the same demonically and wicked music industry. All right? That's why they took the name gospel out of music. It's now inspirational. What the heck is inspirational mean? Why is it no longer gospel? Reason being, because they don't want you to glorify God, not their God at least. These are all facts that I'm saying. This is all, you know, what you guys need to know. What'd you think about that? Oh, I'll tell you what I thought about it. I just realized I didn't really answer the question as far as what I thought about the dress, but before I do, Courtney, your opinion on Mary, the Erica Campbell's outfit.
I thought it was tasteless simply because of, I think it wouldn't have looked so bad if she was shaped differently. I don't think it wouldn't have had that same effect. It wouldn't have given so much of a sexual vibe off. But aside from that fact, I just don't feel that if she is a quote-unquote gospel artist, you know, I don't think that outfit was the best portrayal of it. It's not like, you know, Rihanna or anybody like that. Even though, like we said, they're all controlled by the same people. But if you are claiming to be a gospel artist,
then that is not a good look. That outfit, the long weave, all of that, it's not a good look.
Right. Absolutely. It's not a good look at all. I mean, this is what I say about it. I mean, look, don't get me wrong. I mean, yo, my wife could wear that dress. We go out on the town. It's all good. Look, but, you know, now correct me if I'm wrong. I believe she's separated. Isn't she the one that got found out her husband was cheating or something?
I thought that was the other sister.
It might have been. I don't know. Wait,
I think it's Tina.
Right. Is she married? Is this Erica Campbell? Is she married or no?
Yeah, both of them are married.
Okay, I don't watch it. Danny be watching that crap, and sometimes I've never seen a full episode. I just couldn't get into it, but I remember one time seeing something. Wait, so the other one, he cheated, right?
Yeah, the other sister, her husband cheated on her.
But what was her deal though? Wasn't it something with her?
Oh, I don't know. I didn't keep up with it like that, but I just know it's the other sister whose husband was cheating.
Okay, It was something I remember seeing. Let me do some research and get back to y'all. But I remember watching it at one point, making a mental note in my head about that situation. But regardless, what's going on with her, you know, with her life or whatever, bottom line is that dress to me, it sends a very sexual vibe. Now, if you're okay with sending a sexual vibe, you know, hey, like that, like I said, if you know, if I'm going out on a night on the town with my wife and I want her to look a certain type of way, that's my prerogative, you know, like, but if evidently, I believe they said that was going to be the CD cover. I mean, if you're putting out a gospel album that you want people to buy to be blessed and you're putting praise music on there to get into the presence of God, and that's what these people are looking at, that's not the way to do it. Now, I watch Preachers of L.A. Now, what's the dude? Wayne Chaney, his wife, I feel like she's a very attractive woman. They're all very attractive women. From what I've seen, they carry themselves in a very classy manner. She was the one performing, you know, they did the concert, she was performing. I feel like, you know, she you know, can spice it up, can be sexy for her man, but I don't remember seeing an episode where I felt like, wow, this is a woman of God, but she looks like a hoe. I don't remember seeing that on the show, and I've watched just about every episode. So, you know, I think that, you know, you just got to be aware of what, you know, what your audience is and what message you're trying to put out there. You know, we're going to get ready to wrap it up, man, you know, get up out of here. Just wanted to, like I said, I wanted to talk to y'all a little bit just about cheating and infidelity and what it is, you know, how it originates, where it comes from, how to avoid it from happening to you. You know, do you want your man to have a wandering eye, or do you want him to actually look forward to coming home to you? Because there's a lot of men who are married and aren't cheating, but just don't look forward to coming home. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's not an ideal life for you, and certainly not for that man. And the issues that we discussed tonight in regards to Phaedra, in regards to Candy, you know, those are the things that you want to reflect on in hopes of not finding yourself in their situations. Any last thoughts, comments, words of wisdom, Courtney?
Yeah, so what I will say is just to the ladies, you know, just be very careful about, you know, always pointing the finger and putting the blame on others. Never be afraid to do, you know, some self-reflection. You always want to do self-reflection daily just to ensure that, you know, you are the best woman and so that you will be that virtuous woman, which will be someone's wife, that elite man's wife. And so to do so, you do need to do some self-reflection. And so one last thing I will say is I encourage you ladies to join the Each Woman group, Emotionally Available with a Changed Heart. And I will post the link in the Friends of the Date on Tober Show group. But it's just a support group where it's just women, and we communicate and we talk, we laugh, and we support each other. And it's really great. So I encourage you ladies to join.
Absolutely, man. Y'all remember, check it out. You guys remember what I said, not even what I said, but what the word says about fleeing those youthful passions. You know, that's some deep stuff right there, man. God just showed me that tonight. One thing, real quick, before we go, I was going to tell you guys about, just before we get out of here, about Kenya. If you guys caught the last episode, they revealed that there's a, and they've revealed this in the past, but she was abandoned by her mother. You know, that she was literally just pushed off onto her grandmother, and that clearly has had a huge effect on her. And if you guys notice, she's like an attention whore, right? I mean, you see them always dancing around, oh, twirl and twirl and twirl, and I'm fabulous and all this stupid stuff. Chick is like 45 years old acting like she's 13. My daughter plays those type of games, dancing around. She's only two. Kenya Moore is like 45, dancing around like she's two. And that, all that is she's seeking attention. She's seeking the attention from the world that she did not get from her mother. Even motivated her all the way up to becoming Miss USA, wanting attention. She even told y'all right there on the show. She's like, yo, I just wanted that attention from my mom. Even reached out to her and was rejected by her. Every woman wants, every little girl wants a mother. And so I'm just saying, I encourage you all not to just watch these shows. A lot of people say, oh, that's reality TV, or this and that is fake. Yeah, it may or may not be fake, but, you know, the issues are real. Whether the show is fake, there are people, there are real-life Kenya Moores, there are real-life Taras, real-life Chrissies, real-life Evelyns. You know, I work with many of them every day. You know, pray for these people, encourage these people, because the ratchetness, as we call it, you know, that's existing out here in today's society, there's a reason behind the ratchetness. A lot of it is spiritual warfare. A lot of it is depression. That depression show that we've been talking about doing is coming. Look out for it in 2014, doing an in-depth analyzation of what depression actually is, signs of depression, you know, what it means from a spiritual perspective. And, yeah, that's it. You know what I mean? So just pray for people. Pray for yourselves. Pray for me. Pray for my family. I'll pray for your family. Pray for Courtney and her not being psycho sometimes in regards to certain situations. You know what I mean?
No, you didn't.
Right. I would, like I said, we're going to be doing, you know, a couple more live shows before 2014 comes. So look out for them. Let y'all know what we have coming up in the next couple of days. Probably a rerun tomorrow, maybe come back a little bit later in the week. What else? Real quick, like I mentioned earlier in the show, last day or last couple of weeks for this special, 1 month of free counseling. If you've heard something tonight, you say, wow, you know what? I don't want to be 45 and single like Kenya Moore. I want to take the first steps to letting go of past baggage, finding love, you know, all that good stuff. Reach out, call 855-55-DADON or shoot an email over to Dadon@trctoday.com, and definitely get in touch with you, and we can work some things out. Get your copy of The Love We Had on Amazon, Kindle, Barnes & Noble. Makes a great stocking stuffer, all that good stuff, man. I thank y'all for listening tonight, and we will see y'all tomorrow night. Peace.
Great man who will treat you right, make you his sweet bride. Are you coming up empty out there? Caught your case of blues. I know a man who will pick you up. God will tell you the truth. Baby, you've lost your way again. Let Let Dadon totally motivate you, girl. Ladaydon be your motivation, child. Ladaydon to overcome and rock your world. Ladaydon be your motivation, child. Ladaydon to motivate you, girl. Ladaydon be your motivation, child. Ladaydon to overcome and change your world. Don't ever let yourself settle for less. You don't have to be a fool. Call them up, let the tears fall. Little girl, don't be lost anymore. This brother has a master plan. Lean on his wisdom if you feel weak. I guarantee it will help you stand.
Date on to overcome and change.